happy, sad, excited, frustrated. Those are all emotions that I think we all have. Some of us might have, you know, all those emotions on the same day. But part of becoming an intuitive eater and intuitive living is learning to recognize and have that interoception to know, where do I feel that in my body? And just start to be curious. And learning to sit with our feelings is part of the process in becoming an intuitive eater and allowing emotions to pass through us without having to turn to emotional eating and habits that have maybe helped us cope over the years. So that's what I'm going to talk about in today's episode. You're listening to Healthy Mompreneurs Get Wealthy podcast with Kathy Richards, RD. As a registered dietitian with over 20 years of experience, I've helped thousands of people get healthier and ultimately wealthier, and now it's your turn, busy mompreneur. In this podcast, I'll be sharing with you my self-love journey back to health after years of stress and challenges, including living with a spouse with mental illness, suffering a concussion, and living with post-concussion syndrome, illnesses in my family, a death in my family, divorce, and more illnesses in my family, and all this with three kids under the age of 9. If anyone can show you how to thrive and not just survive through challenges and setbacks, it's me. All right, welcome to podcast episode number 46. This is part 3 in the intuitive eating series, Cope with Your Feelings Without Using Food. So this is a continuation of principle number 7 for anyone that's following along with me in the Intuitive Eating Workbook by Evelyn Tribal and Elise Rush. Okay, so we're still talking about emotional eating. If you followed me for a while, you'll know that I've been running emotional eating groups using the Craving Change program developed by a dietitian and a psychologist in Western Canada. And that's been a really effective way to support my clients in using different strategies to deal with emotions versus eating. As an intuitive eater and approaching life from that intuitive place, we can go even a bit more of a different way, but still some of those strategies still work. The principle number 7 looks a bit more at letting you feel those feelings and letting that be okay. And that's a lot of the work that I've done since 2019, leaving my marriage, the death of my mother, learning to be, you know, a single mom, learning to be on my own again. I don't know. I don't share this, I don't think. But I'm a twin. So for the first 18 years of my life, I was never alone. And the transition to university was a challenging one because I really didn't know who to be when it was just me. And then I feel like ending my marriage and coming back into this space where I'm on my own half the time, I really had to kind of relearn that. And sitting with my feelings, especially through the pandemic, it hit right when I moved out February 1st, 2020. And then I got to sit with it because then everything happened. My mom was sick and I had all this time suddenly by myself. And I really had to learn to sit with my feelings. So that's what today's episode is going to focus on, the feelings. And there'll be a part 4 in this principle too, because there's so much content to cover. And if you know, I like to leave my episode with short and sweet so you don't get overwhelmed. I know as busy mompreneurs, we don't have a lot of free time. So listen, you know, to an episode, have some time to reflect, and then come back and get more on this principle, how to cope with your feelings without using food. Okay. So yeah, we want to become aware of this whole range of feelings that we have, right? Remember that every emotion has like a real physical sensation. That's that interoceptive awareness that we talked about earlier. And I want you to think about an emotion, and I actually want you to remember when you last had that emotion and try to remember where you felt it in your body. Recognizing emotions, there's a few different techniques that I've heard over the years. You know, and I was listening to a book, Living Untethered, I think was the name of it. Yeah, and they're just talking about kind of like transmutation of your feelings. Like, and it's really a lot of the time it's about recognizing the feeling. There's a RAIN technique by Tara Bach, I think. And it's recognize, so it's RAIN, recognize, accept the feeling. I can't remember what the I stands for, but it's just about having the feeling, accepting it, maybe not pushing it down and not trying to change it, just letting that feeling be. And that can be a really great way to kind of let feelings go and let trapped emotions leave. So I want you to think about the last time you had emotions. So I'm going to walk you through a series of different emotions. If you have the workbook, it's on page 164. I'm just going to read a couple of categories. So they have fearful, angry, sad, joyful, disgusted, surprised, and ashamed. And they have different like ends of the spectrum for each one. So if we look at fearful, it might be edgy, frightened, nervous, scared, weary, worried. So those are all different words that still come back to fearful, right? And then joyful on the, middle of this spectrum or a different part of the spectrum is amused, delighted, gratified, happy, satisfied, and silly. So you can see within each emotion, there is all these ranges of how we might feel. So I want you guys to think about where it sits in your body and how you're experiencing that. Because getting to know how emotions feel physically in the body can be the first step in learning to tolerate your feelings, right? And just let it be there and let it be okay. So if you look in the book at page 164, that was on page 163. They actually give you a chart where you can go through, you can label the emotion once you experience it, and then you can pinpoint where in your body that you feel it. So you might feel it in your eyes, your mouth, your neck. I know I feel a lot of things in my shoulders, might be in your heart area, your lungs, stomach. You know, we think about butterflies and things, bladder, legs, arms. And how it felt overall, right? So sometimes the feeling can be pleasant, and that's okay. That's great. And then sometimes it can be unpleasant, and that's okay. That's great. Like it's just again going back to be curious instead of furious, which I talked a little about in the last episode, or you could feel neutral. So it's not about making the emotion or the feeling wrong. It's just recognizing it where it is. And being okay with having feelings. And I think a lot of us, I know myself as a child, yeah, like when we have feelings, it can make people feel uncomfortable, right? So then that's when, they give us food or they try to give us something to calm us down. And as a parent, I've had to relearn that all feelings are okay. And, when my kids are experiencing feelings, that makes me sometimes experience feelings in my body too, that don't feel so good. And, sometimes they're your best teachers, right? They bring me back to remind me that I said all feelings are okay at my house. And then I have to sit with that and I have to let them have their feelings. I can feel my response to their feeling and it's all okay. But sometimes it can be a bit much, right? So learning to kind of sit with our own feelings, I think, can help us really support our children as well. If you look in the book at page 165, they talk about coping with feelings. The more that you check off on this list, it means that you're more likely to use food to deal with life. And it makes sense. In the Craving Change program, some of the research that they quote is people who are caregivers, taking care of other people, usually experience more emotional eating. Okay, so taking care of other people, putting them first, can often lead us to be more emotional eaters. And again, that's not wrong. As an intuitive eating approach, it's not wrong, but it's when it's problematic or when that's the only way you have to cope with something is with food, then it's helpful to find another strategy to support you. So I want you to think about coping with feelings. And I'm going to read 20 different statements. You can write numbers 1 to 20 on your on a paper if you want, or you can just keep track on your hand. Go through twice. Coping with feelings. Okay? And I just want you to think about what your answer is. If it's yes, that's fine. But it's just to get aware. All right, so number one, I eat when I am frustrated, stressed, or upset with myself. Number two, I find myself eating to avoid dealing with problems. Number three, I feel like I have no control over my life. Number four, when a problem arises, it's hard for me to make a plan and follow through with it. Number five, I have trouble saying no when I need to. Number six, my family doesn't support me when I have problems. Number seven, I don't like to burden my friends with my problems. Number eight, I have difficulty talking about my feelings. Sorry, I had to take a coffee and break. I can't remember what if I read number eight, so I'll read that one again. Number eight, I have difficulty talking about my feelings. Number nine, I tend to be impulsive. Number 10, I worry about what people think about me. Number 11, I feel the need to make others happy. Number 12, I don't feel secure in my life. Number 13, I have trouble dealing with stressful situations. Number 14, I feel out of control with my eating when I feel overwhelmed or stressed out. Number 15, I don't trust myself around food. Number 16, I often feel helpless. Number 17, I tend to be a people pleaser. And number 18, it's hard for me to stop eating when I'm full. Number 19, my life feels out of control. And number 20, I eat what I really want, such as candy, when no one else is around. Okay, and again, the more answers that you checked, in that list of 1 to 20, that's just again an invitation to be curious and recognize that you may be using food to cope with life. And like I said, that's not wrong, but when it gets to a place where it feels problematic, then there's tools and strategies. And in the expansion program that I run, which combines my emotional eating experience facilitating that since 2009 with my knowledge of intuitive eating, it really gives you all the tools and strategies that you need to change your relationship and heal that relationship with food. And that's why I'm so passionate about it because as moms, we have a direct impact on our kids. Our daughters are paying more attention to us, how we eat, how we feel about our bodies, how we talk about our bodies. And that has a direct influence on their risk of dieting. Most girls these days are dieting by age 10. That is crazy. I have a 10-year-old. She asks me about body things all the time, and I hear what kids say, and it's challenging. And to be honest, like I have to really, you know, as much as I have body acceptance, body love, my body's amazing, I have to remember to show that to my kids. I can remember as a child, my mom, you know, would never let us see her getting changed, or, you know, if we had to go in the washroom when she was using the washroom, like, it was always like a big deal. Like, don't see my body. And, or that's how I perceived it as a child. That may have not been what her intention was. But I know that I have to really focus to be okay with my kids seeing my body and asking me questions about my body. And we have lots of discussions about bodies and how bodies change. And that's helping them build their healthy relationship with their body, right? And helping them in discussions that they might hear amongst their friends or other classmates. So there's so much opportunity here for us to self-reflect, but also remember we're going to change their relationship with their bodies going forward. And that is like pure magic, I think. Okay, so heal emotional eating. There's three main paths to healing emotional eating. Number one is self-care, nurturance, and compassion. Number two is learning to sit with your feelings. I've already talked a little bit about that. And number three is helpful distraction. And a lot of the tools and strategies from Craving Change, I would put into that helpful distraction category. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about self-care, nurturance, and compassion. And I'm going to end it there so I can keep my episode, you know, on the timeline that I like, and then come back again, like I said, with part four. So self-care, nurturance, and compassion, they have to be there before you can move on to deal with emotional eating. If these aren't happening, and back in the last episode, I talked about, you know, the importance of self-care, sleep, stress, work-life balance. I think it was in part one. That if that's not on point, then it's going to be hard to recognize emotional eating or deal with it. Because if we're overtired, our body wants us to have fuel. It's going to do everything it can to get us to take that fuel from some nice, you know, tasty carbohydrate food to give us the energy. And we can't make ourselves wrong when that happens, because that's our body trying to keep us safe. So you have to believe that your needs are important and you have a right to have them met. Okay, so essential for self-care, we're looking at getting enough sleep and rest, getting sensual pleasure, expressing our feelings in order to be heard, understood, and accepted. Okay, that's an important part. Having some type of intellectual and creative stimulation is important, and having comfort and warmth. So how often, I want you to ask yourself this, how often do you put others' needs in front of your own and not really do what you want to do for yourself? Okay, because self-care, it needs to have a role. And self-nurturance goes beyond the basics of self-care. It's like being extra nice to yourself, nurturing yourself, right? And doing things just because you deserve and you are nurturing yourself. So that might be, you know, how often do you self-nurture by asking for a hug, playing with pets, taking a bath, reading a book for fun, like not for work, not to expand your knowledge, not to help your clients, but just like some kind of fun, quick read. I've been stocking up on books lately. I have so many books, you know, around self-help and topics that I want to share with my clients, but I've been loading up on like quick, easy reads. I've bought a book on Sunday. It's Thursday and I'm just about finished it. I just love reading like stories that are, you know, I can immerse myself into someone else's summer vacation and what happened on that. And it's just those light reads, right? That I find that really nurturing. And water, since I've left my marriage, water, I've realized, and through a lot of the work I've done with intuitive coaches or my hypnosis coach, it comes back to water almost every time. And no one is surprised. Like when water comes up, water and nature and play. And those are all ways I can nurture myself. The first, you know, few months of the pandemic, I can't tell you how many baths I took. And it felt indulgent, it felt nurturing, and that's what I wanted. So that's again where it comes back to listening to your body, right? And letting yourself, you know, check in and see what your body wants. And that's just like checking in to see where is that feeling in my body and what does that feel like, right? So again, it comes back to introspective approach, but also self-awareness, right? Kind of, you know, paying attention to the whole person, which is exactly why I tell people, if you're going to see a health practitioner, if you're going to see a dietitian, for example, and we just talk about food, we are not really doing you any good. Like we're not making suggestions and recommendations based on where you are right now, unless we know all those questions, like, how are your bowels working? How's your stress? How's your sleep? Are you taking any supplements? Do you like your job? Where do you work? Who do you live with? How do you get to work? How do you get home? What do you do for fun? Like all those things, like you're a whole person. You're not just what food do you put in your mouth. Okay, so that is an important thing to recognize as well. So self-nurturance, it goes beyond self-care and it's looking at starting to nurture yourself. Okay, so I want you to stop and pause this, and I want you to write down three ways that you nurture yourself. Okay, good, you're back. So after you've written down those three ways you nurture yourself, I want you to cross off anything that requires food or money. Okay, because I want you to focus on things that you can do to nurture yourself that doesn't require you to spend money, because that can be a barrier, and that doesn't involve food, because that's going to promote emotional eating, right? So how can you nurture yourself? And I want you to pick one thing, and I want you to do that consistently for the next week. Okay, so self-care, self-nurturance, and compassion. So not making ourselves wrong. That's having compassion. Recognizing that we haven't had the energy or the bandwidth to do that thing that we've been wanting to do for years. And not making ourselves wrong, not making ourselves think, I failed, I didn't succeed, I didn't build that business, or I didn't, you know, take that trip, or I didn't take that art class, or whatever it is. Have compassion for yourself. And a lot of the time, that's what I'm helping my clients come back to. Just recognizing this really hard thing's happened. And you're doing a really great job. And yeah, maybe you had some binge eating happen or some emotional eating happen. But we don't make it wrong. We just get aware and we start to be curious around that. So I want you guys to really focus on nurturing yourself, recognizing emotions. Where is it happening in your body? How does it feel? And in part four, when I come back, I'm going to talk about learning to sit with our feelings and walk you through that, because that can be a tricky part. And that's a lot of the work I've done in the past few years with my the coaches and the therapy support that I've had, is really just learning to have the patience and have the openness to sit with feelings. And that can be challenging. All right. Thanks for listening. And I will talk to you guys next time. And that's it for today's episode of Healthy Mompreneurs Get Wealthy podcast with Kathy Richards, RD. If you found this helpful and you have a friend who may also find it useful, feel free to share it with them. And don't forget, every month I'm going to draw one lucky reviewer who leaves a review on my podcast, who screen shares it with me on Instagram in my stories or in their stories. One lucky reviewer will receive one free 60-minute intensive with me, where we'll get down to the nitty-gritty and figure out that one thing that's keeping you stuck from achieving your health and wellness goals. All right, thanks for listening, and tune in next week for my latest episode.